Welcome to our broadcast today, and we're not happy that this is our circumstance today without a live audience, but in the to provide safety for our people, we thought it best today to do a live stream and not have people coming together. Because of the COVID problem, and those that are testing that particular concern. So we hope that these few moments of music and message from the Word of God will somehow fill a spot. It's not like being together in a local church with a local church family, the local congregation, where we are the family of God gathered. But there are people who cannot come to a local church. They cannot come to a building. And so this is our way of going to them. Live stream is not provided to keep people from coming together. Is for those who cannot come together, as today it would be wise that we not be together. I don't understand the why of that, but I accept it, and we want to do the next best thing, and that is to talk to anyone through their computer who can get on Facebook and watch us, or can get on our website and listen to the sermon today. So we're glad that you are sharing this morning. And I pray that the Word of God will be relevant to your life as we close out this year. This morning I want to speak on the subject, Christ the Lord. And as a text, I would use from Luke chapter 2 and verse 11, a part of the message of the angels. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. A Savior who is Christ the Lord. The mysterious wise men came from the east in search of one whose birth was to usher in a new era. They came saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Matthew 2:2. The mention of an unborn babe who was to be a king aroused the jealousy and fear of Herod. The possibility of a rival king stimulated his fear to the extent that he commanded that all male children in the city of Bethlehem below the age of 2 were to be slain to eliminate this suspected future rival to the throne. At this point in time, Herod was an old man. He would die within the next year, no more than 2 years later. And here's an infant about to be born, and a newborn. And yet this old man, Herod, is living in fear of his position being taken from him by someone who is about to be born that would carry the title the King of the Jews. The title king in those days had a significance that is almost forgotten in our day. A king exercised authority over a nation of individuals, and according to his wishes, people perished or prospered. Today we give little thought to the title king, because there are very few kings who exercise any authority over their subjects. During this Christmas season, it would be profitable if each of us would listen to the angelic announcement of the birth of Christ and make a positive response to the title of King or Lord that was bestowed upon him at the time of his birth. In our sentimental consideration of the babe who was born in Bethlehem to be our Savior, we might miss the title that provides us with a clue to understanding the meaning by which he is to be the Savior of all people. Few words in our religious vocabulary have suffered a greater loss of original meaning than the word Lord. In modern usage, this word has been robbed of its original content. We let this title glide across our tongue rather glibly, as if it were nothing more than a given name, like Tom, Dick, or Harry, or Jerry, or a common name. In reality, it is not a name. It is a title. To use it as a name is to misrepresent its significance. We need to understand the meaning of Lord, that we might properly respond to the person whose birth we celebrate at this season of the year. To neglect or to refuse to respond to the implications of this title of the Savior is to deny ourselves of that which he came to accomplish in the lives of his people. The Greek word kurios is a word with a wide variety of meanings, and that's what I want to discuss with you this morning, each of which has significance for understanding the person and the ministry of Jesus Christ. Kurios is the Greek word that is commonly translated Lord, was the normal address of respect in everyday Greek. The modern term that would correspond would be sir in English, Herr in German, Monsieur in French, and Señor in Spanish. A title of respect. I remember from many years ago in the movie Sound of Music, the name of a German or Austrian official called Herr Detweiler. And I didn't understand that term. Herr, H-E-R-R. Herr Detweiler. It was a term of respect for this German / Austrian sympathizer and so forth as World War II was beginning to come together. So that's the simplest word that we can use. Number one, an address of respect. Number two, kurios, was title, the title of authority. By this title, a distinction was indicated between a master and a slave. In the ancient world, slavery was a universal practice. The population was divided between free men and slaves. The slave owner was a kurios, a master. Often when it's in relation to slaves, the translation of kurios would be master. He's the Lord, the master of the slaves. As such, he could command the energies and the efforts of his slaves. He could buy a man as a slave. And he could sell a slave that he owned to someone else. The slave was at the disposal of his kurios, his master. Jesus used this word to distinguish the slave from the master. He said, "No servant can serve two masters." And I looked it up in my Greek New Testament, and sure enough, it's the word kurios. No slave can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Luke 16:13. The title kurios, Lord, which the angels ascribed to the baby who was born in Bethlehem, indicated that he was one who would have the right to command. Now understand again that verse. There has been born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This baby that was born that day or that evening or that night was the Lord. Many of us have failed to recognize and respond to that fact. The captain of a ship has the right of command. He is the executive officer over all that transpires on the ship. At his command, the ship departs from a port. And at his command, the ship follows a course of his chosen destiny. The captain is Lord of that ship. The commanding officer of a military base is a Lord. His authority is respected by both the officers and the enlisted personnel. He has the right of command. The people on the base pattern their lives according to his orders. The angel said, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David," meaning Bethlehem, "a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Are we guilty of anarchy and rebellion against him whom God ordained to be our Lord and Master? We have to think long and hard about that possibility. Kurios, Lord, was used to describe absolute possession or ownership. He who owned a house, a field, an animal, or a slave was a lord. The word that Jesus used to describe the owner of a vineyard is this word kurios in Luke chapter 20 and verse 13. This word is also used to describe the owner of the colt upon which Jesus made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. in Luke 19:33. In announcing that Jesus Christ is Lord, the angels were actually introducing him to us as the owner of all things. In John's Gospel, we read, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He came to his own people, and they refused to recognize or respond to him." Israel's tragic response to him has been repeated over and over through the centuries. When the Lord is rejected and people left to their own resources, they lose proper perspective. Kurios, Lord, was used to denote one who served as a guardian, who served as a guardian. In the ancient world, legal rights were denied to women as individuals. To engage in any business or contract or to hold possession of property, a woman had to have a guardian. This guardian could be her husband, a brother, or possibly another distant relative, but it would be a male. By means of a guardian, the rights of the unfortunate were protected. This was not a way of enslaving women in that day, in that culture. It was a way of protecting them and their rights to have a guardian, someone looking out for their best interest. There is substance for an entire sermon on the thought of Jesus Christ serving as our guardian, our Savior, our Redeemer. He protects us not only from ourselves, but also from satanic forces. He's a guardian who has promised to be with us throughout all of our days, in all of our ways. The Kurios serves as our guardian. This title summed up his authority in the same way that a president serves by virtue of his office, and a police officer serves by virtue of his oath and his uniform. The emperor exercised his authority in more instances and far more extensively than that of any present ruler. The angelic announcement of the Christ child's birth contained the idea that Christ was to exercise this kind of authority over the souls of people. For us to recognize this may help us to understand why Herod was concerned to the extent that he eliminated the male children under 2 years of age in the vicinity of Bethlehem. In the regular Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible, Kurios, Lord, was regularly used as the name for Israel's God. In about 150 BC, there was a translation done from the Hebrew to Greek, Greek has become the dominant world language, not only the language of the country of Greece, but basically across the Roman Empire. It's become the language of commerce. It's become common for many people to speak Greek. And so they wanted the Old Testament scriptures to be put into the language that the people could read and understand, language that they were using. I apologize for my face mask hanging off of my ear. I didn't realize it was there. So I hope you haven't laughed your way through this at this point, watching that mask. The angelic announcement of Christ being Lord was when this translation took place, the Septuagint. When they came to the Hebrew word Jehovah, the most sacred name of God, they used the Greek word Kyrios. So in the Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible, Kyrios was regularly used as the name of Israel's God. In the ascending scale of the various meanings of the word Kyrios, this is the highest. It is used of him whom the Hebrews considered to be their God. And we're not reading too much into the angelic announcement when we declare that they were announcing that the eternal God had chosen to enter the realm of human activity through the womb of a virgin. God had chosen to clothe himself in human flesh and dwell among his people, to disclose his divine love, mercy, grace, power, and purpose for people. As I conclude these remarks, let me give you this challenge. From your heart, are you able to say to Jesus, "You are my master, and I will be as obedient to you as a devoted slave"? Can you honestly say, "You are my owner, and I will let you occupy every position and every portion of my life"? Can you say, "You are my guardian upon whom I depend for protection of my life"? Can you say, "You are willing to say to him, 'You are my emperor, and because you loved me enough to die for me, I want to be faithful to you in living a life dedicated to the growth of your kingdom'"? Can you, with Thomas, say to Jesus, "My Lord and my God"? "My Lord and my God," John 20:28. When we make Jesus the Lord of our lives, he brings us an inward assurance of peace and helps us to relate to others in a manner that produces peace among people. If we are to observe this Christmas, and I know that we're a day past Christmas Day, but we're still in that season. We're still decorated. We're still enjoying perhaps the presents, the gifts. We're still enjoying friends and neighbors, visiting, sharing, caring. If we observe this Christmas in a proper manner, we must yield the sovereignty of our lives to Him who alone is Lord. Christ the Lord was born into our world that day. There's a song that's being sung nowadays. I don't have the words, and I barely have memory of the song. I've just heard it. But it says, some call him Jesus, and some call him friend, and they go through various words. But the final one is, but I call him Lord. That's where each of us should be today. He's not just Jesus. He's not just a babe. He's our Lord, our Master, our Guardian, our God, our friend that sticks closer than a brother. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word and Your truth today. And I pray, Father, for any and all who may today or in the days of this coming week hear and see this brief program, that it will challenge us, Father, anew to see beyond the babe, but to see Him as our Lord. My Lord and my God, to see Him as our provider, to see Him as our guardian, to see Him as our friend, to respect Him in every way that we may respect our God. Bless these days, Father, and help us to learn the lesson of the Lordship of Jesus over our lives. In His name we pray. Amen.